Today I'm going to talk some about measuring disability with survey questions. So you may have seen a little bit of this before, but you should bear with me. I don't have any relationships to disclose, but I do want to thank some folks who contributed to this research, including the team at CDC, Elena Andreessen, who's back there somewhere, and two of my colleagues at ICF Macro, Naomi Friedner and Randy Zuwalik, who helped me with sampling and weighting and design and actually collecting the data. I'm going to talk today about a new study that we did to directly compare the various questions. We're going to talk about how we conceptualize and measure disability, but I'll go fast through that part, and then we'll talk about the results. What's important about to know about the theory of disability is that it emphasizes context. You have basic actions, you have activities, and those are all overlapping with each other, and they're all unfolding in an environment that's social and physical and occurs over time. And that's really hard to cram into one survey question. We have taken a lot of different approaches as researchers to solving that problem. Some of the questions that you see on instruments are pretty specific and really targeted toward a specific basic action. And some are much broader, trying to detect some of the self-report, the sort of self-perception nature of disability, and also to capture more than one thing in a single question. Part of that is contextual, part of it is practical. Every survey question you ask costs money. I'm going to take a minute here to introduce the instruments or the question sets that we did look at. We looked at the ACS set, which is six questions administered on the American Community Survey. That's a census survey. The BRFIS you guys just heard about. NHIS is the National Health Interview Survey. This has a bunch of questions. We picked 13 of them. It does have 9 mobility disability questions. And then we also used the Washington City Group on Disability Statistics set of questions, which is not currently in use on any surveillance instrument, but is similar to the ACS and has been proposed as a kind of universal set of questions for use here and in other cultures. The reason that we're talking about this, obsessively perhaps, is that it's a Healthy People 2020 objective to establish a common set of measures. And what we want to do is the necessary research to establish a common set of measures that's going to be successful and meet our needs. Right now, our surveys are using very, very different questions. But the surveys aren't just doing that because they were all built by different people. They're doing that because they have different objectives and different cost pressures. So to create a successful unified measure, we need to know what it is we're buying with each question so that we can buy a set of questions that meets most of our needs most of the time. The objectives of the research were pretty simple. We conducted a new survey with a whole bunch of respondents, and they answered all of the questions. This allows us to directly compare the same person's response to different questions. We also conducted a pre and a post survey about 1 to 2 weeks apart so that we could see if their answers changed or stayed the same. The methods are pretty straightforward. We conducted a random digit dial survey. We used a BRFIS protocol. For those of you who know the BRFIS, basically that's a very, very rigorous random digit dial approach. We included the measures from ACS, BRFIS, NHIS, Washington City Group, and a benchmark that I'm going to get to in a minute. We conducted, not plus, but actually, 2479 baseline interviews. About 1,800 of those were landline, and 600 were cell phones. So we got complete coverage of the national household population. Again, no folks who are living in institutions here. We also conducted about 550 follow-up interviews with the same people we had just contacted, to ask them the exact same questions about a week and a half later. Don't squint to try to figure out what's on this slide. The idea here is to emphasize that different questions get you really, really different prevalences of disability. On this survey, for instance, the NHIS mobility limitation question, all the way over on that side over here closest to me, 45% of the United States population reported having a little or more difficulty with 1 of 9 mobility functions. Now, upper body, lower body, all kinds of different things. But the Washington City Group, where it's possible to restrict just to the folks who can't do or have a lot of difficulty walking or climbing stairs, is a much lower prevalence. Big take home here is it matters which questions you use. Test reliability simply means the agreement between people's answers the first time we asked and their answers the second time we asked. The measure on this slide is called Cohen's kappa. It's not important what that is. Higher numbers are better. Below 0.4 is not very good. Above 0.75 is pretty good. So we're kind of in the okay range for a lot of our measures here. One thing to take home from this slide is that especially for, say, the Washington City Group vision limitation, asking people whether or not they had a problem tended to be a little more reliable than asking people to further qualify that problem and tell us whether they had a serious problem, a severe problem, a lot of trouble. And the reason is that cognitively, the latter is more difficult. Just to say, oh, I have an issue, is one task. To say, I have an issue, and is that also a severe issue, is two tasks. And that can change depending on the day. Your perception of how severe your problem is going to change over time. It's inherent in the nature of disability, and lower test retest reliability is not necessarily a deal killer for any question. It's just what you're buying when you ask the question. What's important, though, about these questions is not necessarily how consistent they were or how many people we measured, but who we actually got. In the past, it's been sort of a challenge to figure out how the groups that we identified differed from each other, because comparing every question to every other question produces nothing other than a big mess. It's a completely intractable research problem. So we took a little bit of a different approach. We took all of our test questions, BRFIS, WCS, Washington City Group, ACS, and NHIS, and we compared them to a common benchmark, which we made up to be as broad as it could possibly be. The idea here is not to compare these all to a gold standard, but to establish a vocabulary for talking about overlap. For instance, the NHIS mobility measure is extremely broad. It might get everybody in our benchmark plus some. The ACS question, on the other hand, is intended to be very narrow. It should only get a few people in our benchmark. The way that we constructed the benchmark was that for each of five functional limitations, you guys have seen these before, seeing, hearing, moving, emotions and cognitive, I'm only going to talk about a few of these, we asked, do you have any problem with this? And then if they said yes, we drilled down to talk a little bit about the kinds of activities that might be limited. This allows us to talk about whether or not they had a functional limitation that puts them at risk, and also whether or not that's so severe that it's actually interfering with their activities. Most of the existing questions, that is, those from the ACS and other surveys, covered a large proportion of people who said, yeah, I have a problem, and also told us that problem limited one or more types of activities. For vision, for instance, we got about 70% of people using the Washington City Group and NHIS questions, fewer people using the ACS question. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the ACS question, only that it's getting a very narrow proportion of those people who report any kind of vision problem and for whom that vision problem is limiting activities. Mobility, almost anything you ask for mobility seems to get just about everybody. And the reason probably is that mobility difficulties are persistent, they're easy to perceive in yourself, and they're easy to report on. And for cognitive limitations, I was surprised actually by this. The Washington City Group and the ACS questions both got a lot of these people. There was pretty consistent agreement within people on their own self-reports of cognitive limitations. The BRFIS questions are a little bit different. I'm glad I don't have to read these out loud because it takes extra time. But these are very much more broad and they take a very different perspective. So they kind of deserve their own slide. What's important about BRFIS is what are we buying when we're using the data that already exist? So there may be changes planned for the future, but these data are incredibly rich going back to 2003. So as researchers, we want to know these super general questions, what are they actually reflecting when we say 27% of people report a disability? The BRFIS disability measure actually detected most people with activity-limiting cognitive and mobility problems. Those people who at the benchmark said have a problem with cognition, and they said that problem leads to limitations on one of these three types of activities. 70% or more, which is pretty good when you're doing survey measurement. They did a much less good job of catching people who had activity-limiting vision issues. And this could be because the questions don't mention vision. And while the vision is technically physical, it doesn't necessarily spring to mind when you are asked about limitation that could be physical, emotional, or mental. Different instruments are definitely measuring different groups of people, and there's quite a bit more in these data. BRFIS is doing a really good job of identifying folks with self-reported mobility and cognitive problems, but not a great job at picking up people with vision limitations. So when we talk about BRFIS disability, we're probably mostly talking about mobility limitations. NHIS catches all kinds of people with 9 measures and gives us a lot of rich access to levels of self-perceived disability, but the ACS and the Washington City Group managed to cover almost everybody that the NHIS did with a single question, which from a researcher's perspective is good to know. The measures that we found were based on less qualifying language, tended to be a little more consistent, so this is valuable for researchers to know when they're selecting questions. I don't think there's a magic bullet for what the perfect set of questions is, because disability researchers are pursuing this from different perspectives and have different goals. But this research does highlight some things about the set of questions that we choose that could help make it more successful. Most researchers are focusing on functional limitations. That's what most of the measures currently in the surveillance instruments focus on. But one of the things that's really going to help us is to set up a system of short questions, such as the ACS questions, that's scalable, so you can sort of take the core or more if you have room and the ability. It's also important, while we do focus on vision, hearing, mobility, to include some way in this set of questions to measure higher order phenomena like activity or environmental limitations, because those are important to a lot of researchers. One good thing that comes out of this research is we don't need a question for every single possibility. One question can do the job of a lot of questions if it's targeted and clear and short. Well, that's all I got.